All right. Welcome back to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer here with my best friend, Kyle Dobis. Today is Wednesday, February 5th. This is the 10th episode. We've made it to 10. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think we'd...
We made it to 10. We made it to 10.
Double digits. So
it's just flying by.
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do.
Don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't know what to do.
Made it to 10 episodes already.
We should be in mid-season form by now, as they say.
Mid-season form. We're slowly getting it together. We're just slow learners at it right now.
Just slowly getting it together. Could go over our top five games picked that we picked, and then the actual top five, and then with our entertainment, we've got some upsets to talk about that's previously happened, and then we're going to predict some upsets to come for this coming week. Could talk about some wide receivers and some fantasy football, get some gambling going again, and bring it on home once more.
I like it.
I mean, it's just how it goes. We just got to lay it out for them and do it and then tell them what we just said.
Yeah. Just read and repeat.
Yep. So my pick top five games, I went 2 out of 5 between picked and actual top five games. My two that I got on target was the Alabama-Mississippi State game. Alabama beats Mississippi State 88-84. It was pretty much a rock fight the whole game. It was definitely a good game to watch, especially on a Saturday that I had with the team that I worked for. But, yeah. Anyways, UConn and Marquette is my second out of the five that hit the target. UConn actually wins. I predicted Marquette to win, but... I get things wrong. I'm only human. So, yeah, UConn wins 77-69.
Basketball isn't hard to judge this year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know UConn could do that, but I guess they can.
Yeah. So they've had a down year, but they still have talent on that roster. So.
Yeah. My 3 out of 5 that I missed the target was the Auburn-Ole Miss game. Auburn pretty much takes Ole Miss to school and beats them 92-82. It was pretty close most of the game, but Auburn essentially pulled away and just made it to where you're just kind of tuning out the last kind of portion of the second half, if you will. And then my other two misses is Duke UNC game. Definitely did not live up to its hype of being a Duke UNC game. Didn't. Duke pretty much wipes the floor with game was, Tar Heels all night, and Carolina made a good fight.
That game was basically over like the first 5 minutes of the game. It was crazy. Yeah. Like Duke just started out on a crazy run, and it was just like, oh, well, I guess this game's over.
Yeah, it was just a big hill that the Tar Heels couldn't climb and couldn't get themselves really back into the game until it was a bit too late. Making it 87-70, 17 points to lose that way to Duke is not the way you really want to, but the way that it started to how that finish looks, I mean, you got to give yourself a little bit of props to bringing it back. So,
And this might be one of those NIT years for UNC. They don't look like it this year. They just don't look like that great team they've always been.
No. Unfortunately not for them. And then my other miss was the Tennessee-Florida game. This game was diabolical on every level of the word. 64-44. That's the final score.
Yeah.
That's the final score.
Nope.
You sure these two teams aren't at halftime still?
That's like not a very low score. I hope your bettors took the under on that game.
Yeah, I don't know. Oof.
Yeah, that's not an exciting game. That sounds just like a sloppy game. Probably that was played. Yeah,
everybody was just like playing in the mud. It was just like basketball game in the mud, as they say.
Yeah. What were your other top five actual games?
So the top five actual games, my 3 of 5 that I that I missed, but I feel like they should be in the actual top five, is Texas Tech Houston game goes into overtime. Texas Tech winning 82-81 over Houston. I thought Houston might have pulled it off like they did against Kansas later on. I was like, oh boy, here we go again. Houston might, you know, but they didn't. Texas Tech held their own, and they pulled it off. The Raiders beat them.
Yeah, it was good for college basketball. The way to hold on for that kind of win.
Yeah, and then my other two are also overtime games. Red Wings beating the Canucks 3-2 in overtime, and then the Islanders actually beating the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2 in overtime. So, yeah, those are my other three actual top five games of the week.
Yeah, I think you did better than me last week. I did not pick well. I calculated mine as, see, hockey, you can be kind of biased with them, but I calculated as I did about 1-for-4 last week. I picked my one, so my top five games that I thought would have been pretty good was, like yours, UNC Duke. Yeah. I had the Jets versus the Bruins in hockey, and that game wasn't really close. The Florida-Tennessee game, not really the greatest game either. And then the Rangers-Bruins in hockey. And, again, that one really wasn't close. And it's hard to not have close games in hockey typically with good teams playing each other. So it was kind of weird that I couldn't hit on either the Jets or the Bruins or the Rangers or Bruins. But my last one is the only one I considered was, like we just talked about, the Alabama-Mississippi State game. So that was my only one that I really hit on. So for my top five that I saw that I'm putting down on my list for games of the week, Alabama-Mississippi State, because it was a great game, 88-84, two ranked matchups, SEC, good game. I agree with you. I had Texas Tech with the Houston game in overtime. It was just, I mean, it's an upset game, close game, big. It's good for college basketball, like I said earlier. It's cool to see these like smaller teams that aren't really, not really a small school, but not a highly ranked team kind of go in there and take down a top dog. So that was cool to see that.
Yeah, well, the thing was is Texas Tech and Houston was going on at the same time as Duke and UNC was starting up, and that was when Duke was going off. And, and the next thing I see on my phone is ESPN update saying Texas Tech and Houston's going. I'm like, oh, all right, turn the channel.
I should have stayed on that one. I should have stayed on that game.
Yeah. It's like I wasn't really watching that game. I just turned the TV on to watch the Duke UNC game, and then I see this pop up. I'm just like, all right, well, we're turning the channel.
Yep, going back. We're going back. Repeat. Go back.
Go back.
Then my last three I had, pretty much I had all basketball. So I had Texas A&M 76 over South Carolina 72. That was a good solid win for an A&M team.
Yep. Especially being hurt,
Exactly. And South Carolina had been somewhat hot. They look like a really good team, just had some tough losses, and just kind of, this game just kind of adds to them with another tough loss for South Carolina.
Yeah, to get an SEC win.
My other one I had was the Illinois-Nebraska game that went also to overtime. Nebraska upset Illinois 80-74. Nebraska had a pretty good, pretty big week because they had another upset the other day also. So they had two upsets in basically a week's time. And then my last one I had, Texas losing to Ole Miss 69-72. So a lot of the SEC games were very close. It was kind of what you're expecting in the SEC right now. It's just upset after upset or just close games. It's hard to pick those kind of games. You would think you could pick a top five good game, but it seems like we're missing the bar on that one here. So I might just be picking just top five. I might just be picking five SEC games every week just because that seems to be the close ones. The one game I pick on my top five was the SEC team, and they did not have a good game. So it's like I could just keep picking the wrong ones.
Well, I mean, if you keep at it, I'm sure we'll get the target every now and then. But I think picking the top five is definitely going to be hard week in and week out. But at the end of the day, you got to give some credit to yourself for trying your best.
We tried our best.
And it's not we're human. We're going to see
we're human.
At the end of the day, we're seeing these games that they should be top five games. And
they should be. They just don't turn out to be.
Yeah, it's their fault.
Yeah, it's their fault. Get better.
Get better.
Be a better game. We told you to be a good game. So be a good game.
Yeah, we said you were going to be top five. So be actual top five next week.
Yeah, why am I watching you anyways now?
So anyways,
my honorable mention I had was a hockey one. And it's, same. I had Jets versus Caps because it was two big game. It was two big teams battling right there. Jets obviously in first in their division. Caps, I think they're in third right now or second. So It was a good game. Overtime, 5-4. Both get a point. Jets get the extra one. It's just good hockey on that one.
I hear that. Yeah, mine's hockey as well. I got the Red Wings beating the Oilers 3-2 in shootouts. They took it all the way to shootouts on the Oilers, and they won 3-2, which is a that kind of started the good old great visit to Western Canada, which is one of my gut reactions as well. They had
they just swept them.
Yeah, they swept basically all of Western Canada, and they went into Seattle and they still won.
Yep, another shootout.
So yeah, like that's a great visit for the Red Wings, and that leads into literally my gut reaction of it was a great, you know, a little swing there for us, especially having 7 wins now. So
we got back-to-back winning streaks. That's awesome.
Gotta keep the streaks rolling.
I know we'll talk about Red Wings more at the end. So I won't get into them too much. So yeah, my gut reaction is not really even about this week. It's more of just Chiefs. We're just gonna talk about the Chiefs.
Hey Google, Chiefs find other things to do on February 9th.
Yes, a repeat from last week. Just don't do it.
That's still in there.
Yeah, just don't watch it. This is not gonna be. I'd rather watch paint dry than watch this game. So, but unfortunately, we gotta watch it to put our judgment on it.
Just watch. I'm just here for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm here for him to for Kendrick to tell us to turn our TV off. But other than that, yeah, I kind of had the same thing as last week. It just every week after week, it just seems to be a lot of parody in college basketball right now. I mean, look at Michigan State, who looked unbeatable for pretty much this whole season, then they go and get swept out of the California teams this week.
Yep, part of our top
a lot of parodies, not just upsets
coming up here in the
entertainment. Yeah, it's not even just the SEC. It's Big Ten too, so it's kind of crazy. It's good, but it's fun. It keeps it going in basketball.
I mean that's a good segue just to lead it right into our next segment of the men's basketball upsets of the week. We've got a little bit thing going with the entertainment. We're going to make it more of a week-to-week thing to where we got some...
Yeah, rotated around.
Well, what I think what we should do with this, Kyle, since like it's taking up our entertainment just for today, for next week and going on, after our honorable mentions, we do a top three upsets of the week. It doesn't have to be college basketball. It could be hockey, basketball, baseball, whatever.
Yeah, we don't have to make it an entertainment. It could just be just the next section. Yep. We can just talk about upsets because we're going to have them every week, it seems like. So
I believe it too, and it's just going to keep happening, especially the way these past few weeks have gone. So if you want to start with your first three, I can do my three. We kind of agree on two of them.
My top three I have was Kansas State beating Iowa State, who was number three, 80-61. And I'm pretty sure this was at Iowa State, too.
It was.
So
yes, it was.
Kansas State, 80-61 is a crazy score against Iowa State. And they had looked really good up until that point. And now they just lost two games in a row also. They just lost to Kansas last night. So that was a big upset. I have, like we just talked about Michigan State, I had number seven Michigan State losing at USC. 64-70, and I mean, I could just add on they lost to UCLA too. But the my third one I had was 16 Oregon losing at UCLA 52-78.
Yep.
So, and it's looking like the only Big Ten team that can beat these West Coast teams is ours truly.
I mean, I go blue. I mean, they take the California sweep, and Michigan State gets swept while they're in California, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Those trips are the hardest. Like, they, I don't know if you remember me saying this last podcast, but I kind of mentioned it with the ACC also having West Coast teams, right? They have Cal
That's a hard travel.
They have Samford. Between both the men's and women's basketball teams, right? They have two visits, just like the Big Ten does. They got to go play Stanford and go play Cal, like right back to back, or you know, Saturday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Saturday, in whichever order. Whoever goes visit Stanford plays Cal next, and then it's the other team goes play Cal and play Stanford next, kind of thing. The first game out of the visit, the visiting team is only 1-16.
Dang.
That's the craziest stat. Going east to west and west to east. saying that when Cal and Stanford come over here to the East Coast and they got to play Carolina then Duke, or play Carolina then State, or play Wake then Duke, or whoever, you know, because they got to do it five times in their season.
So you're saying tonight the East Coast teams
really have to do that only once in their season.
So you're saying tonight take Cal with all your money against NC State because it's their first game over in California tonight.
It can happen. Like, that's the thing. It's like the only win that happened was Stanford women beat Wake Forest here in Winston.
It's hard to travel, especially those cross country ones. That's hard on your bodies.
Yeah, and that's the thing is Stanford's just that high test, high tier team with women's basketball. They made it all the way to the Elite Eight or at least Final Four last season.
And I know we talked about it. We talked about it in one of the first episodes. Just like college basketball and women's is different than men's, where I feel like the top five in women's college basketball, they will not lose to bad teams or subpar teams. They just don't do it in women's basketball. It's kind of weird to see that difference between men's and women's. Like, if it's a top five team, they're typically not going to lose to this not as good team in your conference.
Yeah, that's usually how it happens. But sometimes those teams surprise you.
You do get those random ones.
So along with your top three, I agree with two of them: the Kansas State Iowa State game, and then the USC Michigan State game. But my third one, I'm taking the Arkansas-Kentucky game. Arkansas beats Kentucky 89-79. It's Coach Calipari's revisit back to Rupp Arena. And this is a game that Kentucky should have won. In my mind, this is a game that you're expected to win. I mean, if you ask me, it wouldn't have surprised me to be like, yeah, Arkansas wins. But this is a must-win game for Kentucky, especially falling to them, and then they fall again.
I agree with you on that one. That was a game where I really just didn't see Arkansas coming out winning that game.
Yeah,
I feel like there was just extra on the line for Kentucky to want to beat Coach Cal's return. So it's like I really couldn't see them losing. And I mean, Arkansas kind of handed them pretty good too.
Yep, and that was the thing. I think it was that way for both sides because Calipari's probably talking the guys up, be like, "Hey, we gotta beat these guys. I used to coach them." And they think that we're just going to lie down and take it. No, we're not. Yep. So
which one was your biggest?
That one's my biggest. Yeah.
Dang. I have to stick with Kansas State and Iowa. Kansas State's 10-11.
Because, that's just the thing. Kentucky's got to win that, especially at home.
They do. Iowa State losing to Kansas State was huge. That's a 10-11 team. That's like a game you just don't lose at home.
Nope. But anyways, bring it into the upcoming week. Look forward to some games. I'll lead it off with my top five games to watch. Number one is, I believe, all these games are on Saturday except for two of them. Got three right here going off the bat. Number 10, Texas A&M at number 15, Missouri. What I would like to see is how Missouri plays against the Aggies. They've been getting off to a pretty hot play here lately. I mean, they're pretty stellar. They beat Florida unexpectedly, at least in my mind. I thought we should have won that game, or at least the Gators should have won that game against Mizzou Tigers. But they're a stout team. They're going to be a pretty surprising Cinderella team if they make it all the way to the, NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they got a solid squad.
Yeah, and then coming in at number two right behind that, I don't have this as number one because I think it might be a wiping of the floor kind of game. Got number six, Florida, going into number one, Auburn. This should be an expected top five game. Mm-hmm. As we are saying this, but it might not turn out to be that way.
Auburn's a powerhouse, man.
I just
don't see Auburn losing.
Auburn's a powerhouse. Florida's got Walter Clayton's injured now. He's out with an ankle injury, and they kind of struggled a little bit against Vanderbilt last night, but they came out with the win. Number three. is number 13 Texas Tech going into number 20 Arizona. Arizona is a very good basketball team, and for that high tech kind of Texas Tech, it's kind of a prove it game for them. And I like to see how Arizona,
especially after coming off beating Houston too. So yep, and Arizona just having a crazy win the other night.
Yep. So it's definitely gonna be a prove it kind of game for both teams, and I like to see how Arizona can take advantage of having the home crowd behind them. Coming in at number four is the Boston Bruins at the New York Rangers. New York Rangers seem to turn things around after their trades with the Vancouver Canucks. Seems to be all positive and good vibes there.
JT Miller's been going off for them right now.
Yep. I got a little bit more on him coming up later. And then got the one game that we don't really want to watch, but I feel like it's going to be a top five game. The Kansas City Chiefs versus Philadelphia Eagles, only because the last time the Eagles played a team the second time, they win the game. They played the Patriots the first time they lost by 3 points.
Yep.
Second time they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl. Last time they played the Chiefs, they lost by 3 points.
I think the whole world wants the Eagles to win. So I'll take whatever crazy statistic you want to throw at me for our luck on that one.
That's the crazy statistic for you.
I'll give you one. I just heard about this. I don't know how true it is, but I heard teams that have to go east to west in the Super Bowl lose. I'd have to research this, because if that stat's true, that is a crazy stat and it does not look good for Philly. But
no, if you have to travel west, ooh. But if you have to travel east, ooh.
Yep. So.
Darn.
Yeah. I think this is the first week in a while that we've had. I think we have three of our five that are the same. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. My number one, Auburn, Florida. Since I put it on my list, it's going to be a blowout. Auburn's going to blow them out then. So it's probably not going to be.
On both of our lists.
Yeah. It scares me because Florida's a really good team, but Florida has struggled against the top teams. They have struggled against them, and Auburn is the clear number one in college basketball. It's like, I don't even think it's really close to who's number two compared to Auburn. Auburn just looks just like a dominant force. They remind me of UConn last year when they went into the tournament. Everybody had high expectations for them, and they met them with flying colors and just dominated the tournament. I think Auburn's going to do the same thing. But Bruce Pearl's team seems to like to choke around the Sweet 16 area, so we'll see. They have a solid team.
Yeah.
My number two, I'll go with the Bruins and Rangers also. That was one that we have the same. Rangers are back down in that bottom section trying to fight for a wild card spot, so I feel like they need this win, and they're starting to get hot again when they need to. It's kind of reminded me of last year. They started their run earlier last year, but they did not look very good to begin last year, but they just ended it crazy. And now that we just talked about it, they have JT Miller there. He's been going off. I don't like either team, but – it should be a good game, hopefully. My other one that we have the same also, Chiefs-Eagles. I don't want to talk about it much because it's stupid. So Chiefs-Eagles are always going to be on there. It's the Super Bowl. I got to throw it on there.
It's got to be a top five game. Like, there's nothing else going on Sunday unfortunately.
It's the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. You got to throw it in there. My two that are different, it's because I'm a homer. I got Oregon versus Michigan tonight at 6:30. To me, this is Michigan's kind of first true test against a really top opponent. Even though Oregon just fell out of the rankings because they lost like back-to-back games, of course, right when we have to play them. But they did not do good against Purdue, but I feel like they're starting to get better now, and it should be a good game. I think this is a test for Michigan. They haven't lost at home yet this year, so I do like that game, and hopefully it stays a good game. And then my last one, I have the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Detroit Red Wings. Yes. I feel like it's the fourth time they've played in the past like 3 weeks. So
it'll be the third time that they play, and it'll be the last time that they play until the playoffs.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God. I'm tired of playing Tampa. So yeah, and every time we play Tampa, that game is usually really close. So I think it will be a good game.
Because we take a lot of shots on Vazzy, and then they take a lot of shots on us, but we can't get score on a freaking walrus in the net.
Yep, and if we can win the power play, if we can get some power plays, I think Detroit can pull it out. But my gut predictions for mine are I have Michigan beating Oregon just because I said, like I said, the Michigan's undefeated at home, and I think they have something to prove against one of these top 10 or one of these top teams in the Big Ten. And I think Oregon's still right there above us in the standings, so or right below us. They're right around the same with us, but this is a big win. And I think Michigan can pull this out at home. The Rangers Bruins game, I'm going to take the Rangers just because they're really hot right now, and
I'm
they're playing
taking
in
the Rangers as well, my friends.
Yep. And they're playing in Madison Square Garden, so that's a hard crowd to play in. So I'm going to take the Rangers, just like you. We talked about the Auburn Florida game a lot, so I'm just going to. It's obvious I'm taking Auburn on that one. That's kind of hard to bet against Auburn. Chiefs Eagles. I mean, I'm just not going to bet against the Chiefs at this point. I've lost enough money doing that, so I'll just go Chiefs, I guess. Woohoo. I had to switch my pick on the Tampa Detroit on the fly because of last night's game. So I was betting on Detroit losing to the Kraken and then coming back and winning at home against Tampa. I think now, since they won, they are going to be tired. I think Tampa's going to win this game. I think this ends their winning streak tonight. Hopefully they make it into overtime and get a point out of it, but I don't think they're going to carry it on tonight just because of that streak they're on. That's a tiring trip coming from West Coast
Saturday.
To East Coast.
It's not tonight.
Oh, that's right. But still,
yeah.
I just...
Yeah, I get you.
I feel like Tampa's going to end that streak. It's got to end some point, and that's a good team that's going to challenge them. So
yeah. I mean, because like...
And Detroit just beat Tampa in Tampa. So it's like, I feel like it's kind of like a payback game here. They're going to take it out on us now.
Yeah, they definitely... I think they need a bounce back game too, if you're asking me, because Sunday's the last game or last day, if you will, that everybody plays before the Four Nations break. And it seems like, so looking at Tampa's schedule as we're talking, we got them losing to us, then they lost to Chicago. They beat the Kings at home, lose to the Islanders in overtime at home. They beat Ottawa. They got to face Ottawa again on Thursday. And then they come to Detroit and go to Montreal.
Man, it's a tough little schedule there.
I mean, yeah, it's a little tidbit for that. And then I can go and look at the Red Wings, see what those boys are doing here in the next. Yeah, their next game is the Lightning game. So they're kind of a little.
I think that's their last game. I don't know if they play back to back on Sunday.
No,
they I think Tampa should be their last game.
They won't be
the
back
break.
In town until the 22nd against Minnesota. Back in Detroit against Minnesota.
And then shortly after that you got the outdoor game.
Yep, the outdoor game is the first, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like right at the beginning of March.
Yep, March 1st, 6 p.m.
So, yeah, those are
Mark your calendars,
but
boys and girls.
But, yeah,
that's
going to
be on our top five for that week.
I mean, obviously. We're going to do the show live from Columbus just so we can, like, just spit on the stadium.
Well, I texted a few of my, colleagues, I should say, at this point that are cheering, for the Scarlet and Gray. I texted them this, right? I'm cheering for the red team. You're cheering for the blue team. Are you sure we're in the right stadium? This is wrong. This feels wrong.
This feels weird.
This feels really weird.
It feels weird wearing red in this stadium.
Why am I wearing red in this stadium?
Oh, that's terrible. It feels like blasphemy.
But yeah, I will jump on you with predictions of Tigers over Gators and Rangers over Bruins as well, and then obviously Chiefs over Eagles. My other two games that I got with the A&M Aggies and the Missouri Tigers, I'm obviously taking the Tigers over the Aggies, and then I am taking the Arizona Wildcats over the Texas Tech Red Raiders, and then. As requested by you, we have got an upset prediction to go on top of our gut predictions. My upset prediction is tonight, Missouri Tigers to take down the Tennessee Volunteers at home. I believe this team's a very strong SEC team. Both teams struggled.
They're still ranked. Like, they're both ranked. So it's still
Tennessee and Florida struggled last game. So I don't know if Tennessee will be able to find it. And if they don't find it within the first half, Missouri's going to take this. Like, Tennessee's got to come out hot, like, to make it a game. But, I just see Missouri winning it.
Well, hopefully, if my gut prediction or my upset of the week succeeds, I'm going to need Tennessee to ruin yours. Because I had my upset was number four Tennessee losing in Oklahoma against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a tough team, and they just came off a straight up curb stomping of Vanderbilt. It was like by 30 points. Oklahoma is a good team.
I mean, they're a sleeping giant. Like at the beginning of seeding, they have the SEC season.
Yeah, they have a dominant freshman at point guard, and he can take over a game. And like you said, Tennessee's struggling a little bit right now. They're just like they're kind of in a lull. So, and you don't want to be that team going in again, like we talked about way back when. SEC struggles in road games against each other. So, this is kind of lining up like a perfect nightmare for Tennessee against Oklahoma. So, yeah, I'm going to take my upset for this week is going to be Oklahoma beating Tennessee.
I mean, one loss can turn into two very easily.
Exactly.
I know a coach said that. I can't name the coach's name, but apparently one coach said that one loss can easily turn into two if you let it.
Yeah,
I like agree. That quote. So there you go. We're going to turn one loss into two.
Yep.
All right. That leads us into our fantasy focus. For today, we are going to talk about the top 12 wideouts for next year and then the best incoming wide receiver to get a good hot start. I will start with my top 12. Coming in at number one, I've got Justin Jefferson, good old JJ. And then coming in at number two, I've got Brown. I just put his last name. I am terrible with this. I gotta go back.
Your boy?
No. I got Sun God. It literally says Sun God there.
I was gonna say, how are you forgetting your boy? You're talking about AJ Brown, probably.
Probably AJ. Yeah, it's probably AJ Brown from the Eagles. That's
the only one I know. Unless Antonio Brown came back.
Yeah, he's number two. And then I've got Mike Evans coming in at number three. Then at number four. Man. Well, I think he's very reliable, especially for Baker Mayfield. And if he does come back, like I don't see how Baker Mayfield doesn't throw it to him like he's always been. Like, I mean,
I think
unless he like takes like less reps with the snap, I mean, that's the only thing I can see. Nah, but still, like
as long as he isn't,
he's gonna be old reliable for hurt, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't get hurt, he should easily get 1,000 yards for the 10th straight year.
Yeah, so, with that number four, Sun God, I've got St. Brown coming in at number four. Number five, I've got Puka Nacua. Number six, I've got Malik Nabers. Number seven, I've got Nico Collins. Number eight, I've got Scary Terry McLaurin. And then at, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, I've got McConkey.
I think we've got some young guys in there.
He's a stud. He's going to have a really great season, especially with Harbaugh at the helm. He's going to draw up some plays for Herbert to kind of rely on McConkey, I think, because – like
man, hopefully
you just kind of
start throwing the ball more.
Like you kind of saw McConkey kind of coming off the schneid there at the end of the season, and they were using him a lot more. And I think that's what they're going to start drawing up here coming into the new season, especially with
I think you're going to have to
or at least rely on him when they do air it out. And so and then
he's definitely be their top dog. So
yeah, and then at number 10 I've got CeeDee Lamb. Number 11, I've got Jennings for the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, we got Jawan in there. Nice.
And then at number 12, I've got Xavier Worthy for the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe that Worthy kind of comes back to the Chiefs, and then Mahomes has somebody to throw to that's not named Travis Kelce.
Yep. I like it. We actually got a little bit of mix in there. So my top 12, this is in order. How I think they're going to finish. I really wanted to add Terry McLaurin in there. I just couldn't do it. I guess I could, but my number one is going to be Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. Justin Jefferson's my number two. I mean, it's easily 1-2 right there. My number three is going to be CeeDee Lamb. I think Dak Prescott comes back after the injury, and they're going to just start airing it out again. So CeeDee Lamb would be my number three, I think. And then my number four is Puka. Puka's going to have a monster year, especially them trying to trade Cooper Kupp now. Yep. So he's just going to be a target hog over there in LA. Hopefully Stafford stays for at least another year or two. If he does, he's just going to get target after target. My number five, I have your boy, St. Brown. I think he's just, again, he's the guy that just gets all the targets on this team unless they go and add another stud receiver like Kupp. But he'll still be dependent. He'll still get his targets and he'll still get his yards. Hopefully he can get his touchdowns up this year. But he's just like one of those guys that's a lock right there. My number five is a rookie from last year, is Brian Thomas Jr. He started a little bit slow last year, but he finished unbelievable. He had like 160, 170 targets or something like that. He's, especially with a down year for Trevor Lawrence, so, and then gets hurt. So if you get a full year with Trevor Lawrence and not just Mac Jones, Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a standout next year, especially in dynasty leagues. My number six is Tyreek Hill. I think the Dolphins are going to have a bounce back. Honestly, if Tyreek Hill's there or he gets traded, no matter where he goes, he's going to be good. But yeah. I do think the Dolphins have a bounce back year, even if he's there. And as long as Tua stays healthy, I think they're going to air it out more and look. I think this is almost like a mulligan year from last year. So I got to put Tyreek Hill in there. No matter where he goes, he's going to be a dominant force. Where am I at? Number seven. So number seven, I have Nico Collins, just like you. Nico's CJ Stroud's guy at Ohio State to a Michigan guy. When Nico's in, he throws the ball to him all the time. So he's just Mr. Reliable there. I think they do also add one, but he's going to be my number seven. My number eight, I got AJ Brown. Easy pick for that. He targets him all the time. My number nine is another rookie. It's Malik Nabers. Neighbors had a dominant year. I have him a little bit lower besides Brian Thomas just because of we don't know who the quarterback is right now. So hopefully they get a good quarterback, a young quarterback, even bringing in Kirk Cousins will help them. My number 11 is Drake London. He had a great way to finish the year, and I think he's going to build on that trust with Michael Penix and have another solid year and even better year next year. As long as he finishes like he did. So that's why I'm going to keep him at 11. My number 12 is more of a mix. So if Tyreek Hill's gone, I'm going to have Jaylen Waddle in there at number 12 because I think he's going to be a target hog. He's just like Tyreek Hill with a downfield threat. So I'm going to go with Waddle there if Tyreek Hill leaves. If Tyreek Hill stays, I'm going to switch it over to Rashee Rice as long as he's healthy and the criminal activity is died down and he's not going to be suspended. I think Rashee Rice, because he was on pace to being a top five receiver this year until he got hurt. So I'm going to put him as my number 12.
All right. I like that. I like that top 12. I'm kind of regretting not putting a Ja'Marr Chase in mine, to be honest. I mean, yeah, he had a really great season. They just didn't have any wins to show for it, unfortunately. And then, I kind of like that 12. All right. Going into our best incoming rookie wide receiver to start hot. I've got two different wideouts to get off hot after the draft. I've got Travis Hunter and then Amika Egbuka. Travis Hunter coming out of the Colorado Buffaloes. He's the top guy right now at number one spot for those wideouts to come out for the draft. Obviously, there's no wideouts to be picked in the first round, unfortunately, but he's the number one guy right now, and I think he's going to go to a good team, and they're going to use him, especially just the way he is. Yeah. He's an athlete.
He is.
And he's going to be used more than a wide receiver. Like I can see them like putting him in the backfield and like try and draw up like a RPO type of play, kind of stuff like that with him. Yeah. And if you told me I can't pick Travis Hunter, my other guy is Amika Egbuka. He's a good
Egbuka. I think he's going to be a consistent guy.
Yeah, he's going to be very consistent for whoever gets him.
I don't see Egbuka being like the Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas's of this year. I don't see him being that stud number one superstar potential, but I do see him being – I could see him being a solid number two receiver throughout his career. Nothing really screams like superstar, but everything screams dependable, good route runner, good hands, he can be there, and I could just see him being a number two for someone for a long time and be a consistent good wide receiver. My two that I like, obviously Travis Hunter could be in there. I just don't know what they're going to do with Travis Hunter, so it really just depends on where he goes. Is he going to play corner or is he going to be receiver? I don't know how to pick that one, so I really just don't know. He's good at both, so I guess we'll see with him. So I rotated over to two other receivers. My first one was the Arizona. Ted McMillan. I'll just go Ted McMillan because his name is pretty long for Ted Arroyo. He's a superstar. Yeah, he's a superstar wide receiver, and I think he shouts superstar potential. He's got amazing speed, good size, great route runner, and he was really good last year too. So he came on strong last year and had a really good season again this year. I think he's going to be one of the top receivers, kind of like that Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, hopefully. My other one I have is Luther Burden from Missouri. He was one of the number one receivers last year. If he came out last year, he would have been a top four receiver pick. So I think he's going to be, I don't know, probably a first rounder if I had to guess. Really depends on where he goes for his mat. I mean, both of them, it really depends on where they go. But Luther Burden is more of a bigger receiver. He's still got good speed, but I could see him fitting in well and having a pretty productive rookie year, hopefully. So those are the two that I'm looking at, especially like in dynasty leagues. I like those two guys.
Yeah, yeah, those would be pretty good pickups, especially coming out of the draft there. All right, so that leads us back into our gambling men section,
our favorite section,
our favorite part of the whole thing. This is why we kind of save it for last, right? I mean,
yeah,
obviously Homeward Bound is the last thing we talk about, but this is really it. This is the cake.
I've got bragging rights this week.
this is the icing.
I nailed it this week. So
and then Homeward Bound is just the cherry, you know.
Yeah. But,
anyways, all right, three-leg parlay that I've got drawn up this week. I couldn't keep track of last week's, obviously, because I had college
shame,
basketball.
Shame, 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 shame.
Like I said, I can talk about it, but I can't bet on it, so I don't know what my outcome was.
That's fair enough.
So, like, yeah, I can't – my hands are tied. I can talk about it, but I can't really put any money towards it, any real – anyways,
fake money.
my three-leg parlay, all these games are going on tonight. So if you're listening in today, make sure you dial it in with me here. I've got the Lightning money line over the Senators. I believe that they beat the Senators pretty easily. Senators are a team that
they're a hot team. And they're a hot team,
and this is a must-win game for the Lightning. Both this game for the Lightning and the game against the Red Wings is a must win for them
for Detroit's sake. I hope Tampa wins.
Yeah,
because we're chasing them.
Yeah, because it's just to stay in the wild card, you know, realm of things just for them, and you know, especially with the Senators being in that same, you know, atmosphere, this is a must win. I got the Devils money line over the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. And then a little bit of NBA, Kyle, got the Pistons money line over the Cavs. Man. Yeah.
He's throwing a curveball in here.
Throwing a curveball. This one's the cake one.
Curveballs left and right now.
So the Lightning money line right now is sitting at -162. The Devils money line is sitting at -120. And then this Pistons money line is sitting at +170, making it a total of +700. $10 pays 80.
Nice. That's not bad. That's not bad.
No,
so,
not at all.
So since I'm a good sport and I kept track of mine last week and I got to brag about it, I went 3-0 last week. So my three I had Creighton -5.5 over Xavier. Nailed that one. They won by 12.
Nice.
I had the Alabama versus Mississippi State over 166 points. When we talked about last week, it was those two teams can put up points, and they did it for me. They got up to, I think it was like 175 or 178 or something like that. So, yeah, I hit the over on that one, and then I had the UCLA plus spread over Oregon plus money on that one, and they beat them pretty bad. So I went 3-0 last week on my three-leg parlay, and I'm happy about it.
Nice.
So for this week, we talked about earlier, I had the Tampa Bay money line versus Detroit. I think they're going to win. these like good teams like this, that's their money line either way is usually fairly decent, especially when you're trying to throw them on a parlay. It's usually gonna be like -150, -175. So
yep.
Tampa might be a little bit lower because they're playing in Detroit. So I like Tampa, and I think they are going to win that game. So Tampa money line versus Detroit. I'll throw a little Super Bowl action in there. Just take Chiefs money line versus Eagles. So just don't bet against the Chiefs, and the spread or the money line is like -110. So you might as well just throw it on there. And then I have, I think it's tonight or tomorrow, the Ohio State Maryland basketball game. Maryland's, I think, 18 or 19 going into Ohio State and playing Ohio State. So I'm going to take the money line at Ohio State. They seem to be just a different team at home. I think they will beat them. So I'm just going to take them straight up to beat Maryland. And since I can't calculate my odds right now because of the Tampa-Detroit game, it's not till Saturday, so I can't really get a good odds on it. But from my prediction on it, it's going to be about a plus 500, between plus 400, plus 550, somewhere in there. So yeah. It's good money, and it's not, yeah,
that's not too bad.
That's not bad, a dollar for 550. So, yeah, that's going to be my three-leg parlay this week.
All right, and then going into our honorable mentions, my honorable mention is a double chance. We got the WM. Waste Management.
The double chance.
The double chance. Scheffler Matsuyama to win at plus 250 right now. Both of these guys have won it. They've both won back-to-back. They're very good golfers. I could see either of these guys winning this tournament, especially with Rory already winning the Pebble Beach last week, which obviously knocked off my honorable mention. He was one of those triple chance tries, but I didn't go with Rory. I didn't think Rory could do it.
But, yeah, that's fair. But
I'm guessing since they're playing TGL all the time now, they're just going to skyrocket. Like, all these guys that are playing in the TGL are playing really well
in
actual tournament play now.
Yeah, and those are two guys that it's a safe bet to pay, especially for plus 250. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, mine, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to put money on Oklahoma, money line, to beat Tennessee for that upset I was talking about.
Oh, boy.
I think you'll get really good plus money. Maybe not. Maybe Vegas might predict an upset there. So,
I don't know. They probably won't.
It might be like a plus 400, plus 500, hopefully. So you should get some pretty good odds if someone wants to take that upset chance for Oklahoma-Tennessee. It's a good shot you could get one on that one, maybe. But, you know, Tennessee will probably just blow them out, and then I was just wrong about that one. So,
yeah, it happens. It's
you win some, you lose some. I'm taking a risk. That's why it's an honorable mention. It's not one I'm just going to throw in a parlay.
I hear that.
I promise you, I would straight bet that one. I'm not throwing that on any legs.
Nope, would not. And that's me, too, with the Scheffler Matsuyama. I wouldn't throw it on any legs. I'd just bet on that.
Straight up money line bet. That's it. Yep. I like it.
So, and then I'm doing a super, super same game parlay.
Oh.
Hence the super. All right, here we go. I've got Barkley, anytime TD, -195. Hurts, anytime TD, -110. Worthy, anytime TD, +155. Mahomes, 2+ passing TDs, -180. And then the Chiefs money line over the Eagles, -120, making a total of +1,800. $10 pays $190.
Whew, that's a hefty bet. That's a lot of anytime touchdowns.
Super
there.
Same game parlay.
Yeah, good luck on that one. That's
good luck on that one.
That's a tough one. So last week, again, I kept track of them. Alex.
Well, my same game parlay was a college basketball game, so.
That's fair.
But they did win. Duke won. You got one. And Flag did score more than 21 points, so.
So you did nail it.
I did nail it.
There you go. That's all that matters.
I just can't.
Yeah. We understand. So just like my three-leg parlay, my same game parlay last week, I also went 3-0. So I was 6-0 on those last week. My same game parlay last week was I took Panthers -1.5 versus Kings. They won by, I think, 3. I had Panthers will be the first team to score, and I had Sam Bennett to have 2+ shots on goal for a +300. So I nailed that one last week. This week, again, just like you, I'm taking your your track on this one. I'm just going to go for a Super Bowl parlay. Nah, mine's not as crazy as yours is. I'm trying to be a little bit more realistic and win some money on these. So
you're a madman, Alex. You're a madman.
You are a madman. So I'm gonna take Chiefs straight up like I did before. Chiefs money line. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of passing yards too much from Mahomes, and that's a high number. So I'm taking Mahomes under of 251.5 passing yards. And then to add it all up, I'm going to add one more, which is Pacheco to have over 4.5 yards receiving. To me, that number is crazy low. He usually catches at least one or two passes a game. To me, he's going to get over 4.5 yards. So unless he just gets hurt and they just don't use him, I could easily see him getting over 4.5 yards. I feel like that's almost like easy money for Pacheco.
Yeah.
So with all three of those combined, it was a plus 450. So it wasn't too bad. Well, the plus 450, 10 bucks is going to get you, 400 or 45 bucks. So easy bet, not too crazy. And hopefully I'm wrong so the Chiefs lose.
I like that.
All right. Yeah,
hopefully I lose money.
Top three player props of the week. I've got Larkin, one plus points. Usually that sits right around negative 110 for that. And then I've got a Rantanen anytime goal. And then our guy that we talked about a little bit earlier, I got JT Miller to get a point in the Boston New York Rangers game.
Okay. So with mine last week, I went 2-for-1 last week on mine. The only one I missed Ace Baldwin to get 12 plus points versus OSU. He shunned me and only got 10. Missed it by one basket. But I had McDavid to get one plus point versus Detroit. He got it in the first goal. And I had Draisaitl to get two plus shots versus Detroit. And he ended up with 10 shots on goal. So that one kind of hammered that one.
There you go.
Yeah, so mine are boring for the player props this week. I'm taking basically the same ones because those were my favorite ones I really liked. I love the Mahomes under passing yards of 251.
Yep.
I love the Isaiah Pacheco of over 4.5 receiving yards. And I like one of yours earlier. I like a Barkley anytime touchdown. I feel like it's at this point, it's almost automatic. He's just going to score a touchdown at this point. It's like a little bit different from last year's Eagles teams where it's like when they get close to the goal line, it just hurts every time.
Yep.
At least with this year, they're going to give Barkley at least one shot to do it. So.
And usually he can take it 40, 50 yards to the house.
Yeah, and you also have the big play component with him. So, yeah, I like Barkley anytime touchdown on that.
Yep.
So those are my three.
That's definitely why I'm hitting that one for sure. All right, don't bet on it. My don't bet right now is, I know we kind of live on the rock here when we don't talk about the NBA, but there's one thing that we got to talk about now apparently is don't bet on the Dallas Mavericks because they traded away one of their most valuable players. And apparently, if you go and play NBA 2K25 or whatever it is now, you can't even make the trade in the game.
Yeah, like, it's impossible. They question your logic. Like, what are you doing? I mean, this honestly just comes down as like one of the worst trades I've ever seen.
It is like preposterous.
Yeah, I don't get it. But yeah, that's fair enough. I like that.
And then obviously the other one that's from last week, it's still sitting right there. Eagles winning the Super Bowl. Don't bet on it.
Yeah, it's at this point, just don't do it. You'll just get even more disappointed. At least if you pick the Chiefs and then the Eagles win, you're happy losing money because you watch the Chiefs lose.
Yep.
So, yeah, my don't bet on it. I don't want to bet on the Oregon-Michigan game tonight. I don't really know. I can't tell where this game's going. I could see Oregon beating us, and I could see us beating them. Michigan at one point, and so did Oregon, looked like they were going to be really high-scoring games every time they played. And then recently, they both have only been averaging 60, 70 points. So, I don't like the over-unders. I don't like the spread. And kind of, I don't really like the money line. I don't know who I really feel positive about winning this game. So, I don't want that game. Same thing goes with Florida Auburn. I don't want to bet. I think Auburn's going to win it. I think Auburn's going to win it. Obviously,
it's heavily favored to Auburn, and like I will help you out with that one. It's like don't really want to bet that one to where
no,
because we got our guy Walter Clayton is hurt, right? But we are pretty well reliable on some of our other guys that have come in and played for us or played for them. Because you got Condon, he does really well. You got Will Richard. If he's hot from the 3-point line, we'll be okay without Clayton. Like
Florida needs a. They got to live and die by the three right now with him. So.
So like yeah, it's like
I don't want to bet against that. I don't want to bet on it just mainly because I think Auburn's gonna. It's not gonna be really good odds just to pick a money line on Auburn. Yep. It's probably gonna be like -400 or something like that. It's not good odds. The over under is gonna be hard to choose. Literally like Florida just played what Tennessee or who was it, and they only put up like 40 points when they were averaging like 80.
Yep.
So it's like you don't want to bet the over under either. The spread's going to be too high because you could see Florida keep it in this game. It's going to be a hard game to bet on, so I'm just not going to touch that one.
And I totally agree with you. It's like, yeah, for Florida to even possibly stay in this game against Auburn, they got to play tough defense and keep Auburn scoring very, very low. And if they can't get their offense going either, it's going to be another low-scoring game on a Saturday for me.
Yep, I agree. No, and then my last one, it was honestly, I didn't want to change it because it was kind of like proving my point. I had the Detroit and Kraken game last night. Don't bet on it.
No.
Because I was a heavy guy on Kraken are going to win. They could easily win this game and ruin the streak. Last game in this stretch, they're tired. They're not going to do anything. It's probably just going to be a low scoring game. And I was wrong. I would have been wrong on all of that. Detroit won in a shootout, 5-4 or whatever it was. So that was one I wanted to add on there, just not change, just for the fact that. That's the reason why I didn't want to bet on it. It was literally what just happened.
Yeah. All right. I kind of like the 2020 hindsight on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Homeward bound we go now, Kyle.
Let's take it home.
And we're going to take it home with this little tidbit from me. I'm going to say that the Lions need to go get Myles Garrett now.
It's going to cost a lot.
It's going to cost a lot, but I want the guy. I want the guy on the team. He's a good player. He's going to be a good addition to our defense. Like,
what are you worth giving up, or what would you want to give up for him?
We don't have to give up anything for him. We could just wait. We could wait for him to be on the free agency.
Well, you're gonna have to wait another year.
They want to trade him, and to trade to the Browns again. I don't know what we could trade to him because we've already traded for.
It'd be picks. You're gonna have to give up a bunch of picks to get him.
Yeah, that would be the thing.
I hate trading picks for a superstar that's on his. Yeah, he's at his peak, but he's on his way down from the peak. So it's like that's hard to give up those picks for that. But at the same time, you guys are in win now situation. So if you had him on one side, Hutchinson on the other, you guys are loaded on the defensive line. You guys would be menaces.
Oh yeah. So that's my little tidbit for the football. I don't know if you got anything in your notes for the football portion of that.
No, not really. We haven't even begun the offseason yet, so no. Nothing really has changed for the Packers or the Panthers right now.
Nope.
Lions has been the only thing because they got to hire coaches and they had lost coaches. So it was more on Lions than Packers and Panthers.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, we did a good job of hiring our new OC and DC in my mind. And, yeah, we still got to keep hiring for filling some positions that left. It's definitely going to be a pretty long offseason for the Lions, but we'll be back. That's for sure.
You guys will be.
Wolverines hockey, big weekend coming up, Kyle. I mean, got to play good old Sparty two times. Got to play over there in East Lansing, and then got to play the duel in the D.
In
Little Caesars Arena on Saturday. That'll be an exciting game. Welcome to the show, Tilly.
She's here.
She is here.
they have big games coming up here, and especially against the Michigan State ones. I would like to see them at least split with them on that.
Yeah,
because Michigan State's still one of the top teams in the country. I feel like they always are every year, but then yet Michigan's the only one out of them that always makes it to the Frozen Four. So, yeah, it'll be good hockey for them.
Yeah, and then Pack hockey, they're heading into the ACC-HL tourney as the number 2 seed, right behind Penn State. Number 3 seed is Virginia Tech, and number 4 seed is UNC Chapel Hill.
Yeah. Good old triad hockey, or not triad, but the triangle hockey for us now.
Triangle hockey right here in the triad. They're going to be
getting big.
Tournament starts on Friday, and then it goes to Sunday, with it being quarterfinals and semifinals and the final on Sunday. So it'll be some interesting club hockey to see, especially right before they turn into some D1 players.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice when UNC gets their new rink built, too. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Speaking of hockey, going into Red Wings, need to keep the win streaks rolling when they can.
Yeah.
I believe it.
They've looked good. It's crazy. They had that little six-game win streak a couple weeks ago, lost a couple games, and then right back on another seven-game win streak.
Yep.
Literally, in December, they were at the bottom of the conference. Literally the bottom of the conference. And now we're into beginning of February, and they're in the first wild card spot, and only two games back or something like that, or one game back from Ottawa, with a game in hand for Ottawa. So they could literally just win a game and jump into the third spot of the division. So that's what a crazy run they've gone on. And hopefully they keep this up, because it's not like they're winning fluky games. They're actually just playing good hockey. They're playing good defense.
Yep.
The forwards look good. The big thing is they're healthy. Their goaltenders are playing good. It's just a night and day different team under this new regime with McClellan. So I really hope they keep it up, especially hopefully they don't go into this little break come Sunday and then go back to a slide. Hopefully they keep that momentum going for the last half of the year.
Yeah, you saying all that just reminds me of the Detroit Tigers. I mean, they were starting the month of August or September with a 0.02 chance of making the playoffs,
and then they
make a big run, and then they get themselves into the playoff.
Yeah,
and beat Houston in the first round. Yeah, in the wild card.
Hopefully they won't have to go on that kind of crazy run. Hopefully they just keep it going right now and just dominate the second half and get first place in the division instead.
Oh yeah, the Red Wings are definitely in a much better position right now than what that was.
You got to be excited just because, I mean, they're looking good with what they have now, and then they have five superstars on their way up that are still young. So if they can start winning right now, make the playoffs now, and just continue that, it's like the beginning of the Canes run like 8 years ago when the Canes were bad, and then they slowly got better, and then their young guys got in there, and then they just had a nice flow of young guys, veterans, and they continue to be good for all these years right now. So I think we're about to see the Red Wing. If not now, they're about to hit that little their peak of here come the playoff runs again, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be definitely good to see, cuz that's where the Canes are right now.
Yeah.
They're kind of in their peak of their playoff runs. They're here to win it all.
Definitely in their win now right now. They've got to win a cup in this stretch. They can't go the next 5 years without winning a cup. So, because they're gonna hit their downslope here, I don't know, maybe another 5-8 years. These guys are gonna get older unless they had some great rotation of young guys. But yeah, I'm hoping Canes can win one here soon.
It'll definitely be a good thing for the state of North Carolina for the Canes to win a second cup. Going into some NBA again, Pistons are keeping things rolling. They're now in seventh place at 25-25, and hopefully with a win tonight, they turn that into a 26-25. And just let's be above 500. Come on, guys. We can do this.
They're already having a better year than they did last year. So, I mean,
I can't complain. I'm not complaining. Nah. I'm just.
You really can't.
Revving them up. I'm trying to pump things up, you know, at the end of the day.
You got
to
get the people going.
Get
the people going.
All right. And that wraps up our 10th episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we'll look back on how we did with our pick top five games compared to the actual top five games of the week. We'll see how the fantasy sports world brings us. And what we will be doing is tight ends next week. Tune in to see if we made more gambling money or not. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Davis.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Like, subscribe, all that, you know, fun stuff. All right.
Bing.
Oh,
Tilly, driving me crazy.
Tilly,
what do you want to go? Do you want to go outside? Is that what you want?
Yes.